Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Better graphics means it's more realistic.
60 frames a second, which is twice the speed of a TV. It equals graphics you've never seen before.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanel here, everybody. And boy, am I awake. And why am I awake? Because I got up very early this morning to watch something special. And joining us, rounding out the trio, is a man who's always special.
I'm special. I came here on the longest bus you've ever seen, actually. A tram.
Really?
Longer than a bus.
Yeah.
That is technically true.
They're pretty cool. It was pretty packed. I got bumped around a lot because I was in that morning rush because we got up early. My name's Adam Knox to talk about over a live stream the PlayStation Showcase, the big term that they use when they have big shit to announce usually.
I thought it was weird that they took so many opportunities in the showcase to announce that the buttons on the PlayStation controller are a square, a circle, a triangle, and a cross. They really hammered that home throughout the presentation.
They love their little button shapes.
They're pretty proud, aren't they?
That was some of the most impressive stuff we saw.
I know. Those
quite cinematic.
Yeah, really engaging animations. Unlike many of the, you can watch a full version on YouTube of us on Twitch talking over the PlayStation Showcase, which, I think I'd let myself get a bit too revved up about.
Well, I guess I'm not as tapped into, like, what it was meant to be, but it was framed as the E3 replacement showcase.
I think so,
it's
basically.
It was an hour, 10, 15 minutes.
Longer than they normally are. Those state of plays are often 20-something minutes.
Yes. And those are positioned as like, hey, here's like a few third-party games. Maybe we'll chuck in a cinematic trailer for Spider-Man, but it's going to be short. Don't get your hopes up.
Quick little call here just to let you know what we're up to. Yeah. All right, see you later.
Yeah.
This was like, hey, everyone, get your hopes up.
Well, this was also there at a point, and this happens with like any of these presentations for any big company. They are at a bit of a point where their slate is relatively cleared. A lot of stuff that they sort of announced a fair while ago has come out. And so that's when the hype really tends to build for people, like with any company, because it's like, okay, they're going to do the new, they're going to start that cycle again of teasing some bonkers stuff that's still 6 years away. They're going to completely like, fill the bookshelf up again. And they're just, there just wasn't any of that at all.
It traditionally is that, and we'll end up having the same misconception when the next Nintendo Direct comes up too, of like, well, this is the 5-year plan. And they did used to be that. I think that's why this sort of thing is so weird. I kind of mentioned this when we were doing the thing, but like, you are so used to that format.
Yeah,
it was pretty recent, like the big PlayStation one of like 2016, I think it was, when they're like, he's God of War, he's Last of Us. That was the one that people I saw misguidedly, and I bought in fully and drank every sip of that Kool-Aid. I was stealing other people's Kool-Aid, getting really, really poisoned.
You were a thirsty boy.
I'm thirsty in here. This creepy music's playing. Old what's-his-name up the front.
Yeah, he's... people were turning up to Jonestown. Oh. They were like,
Jim Jones.
Pretty much Jim. Everyone Jim Ryan else Jones. Is alive.
Yeah, I thought you meant Jim Ryan. Like, okay.
Close.
He's kind of creepy, I guess.
He's charismatic in the way that a cult leader could be. Like right at the start, he was like, thank you all so much for being here or something.
Yeah.
Let me fuck your wife. And I let him. I thought it was going to get me into the PlayStation mothership.
I thought it was weird that he was wearing the little lapel mic. It's like, you're not doing this live. Like, get a shotgun mic in there out of camera.
Sony's got a studio.
Or have him do this. Have him do it podcast style.
Yeah.
Yeah,
spend ages figuring out how to set it up and then go like,
it's kind of the same as last week. Hey?
But I was thinking about this after we watched it and, like, obviously there will be people whose response to this was different to us, because it's like you see this commonly with Nintendo Directs. I'm often on the other side of them where you know, there'll still be a couple of things that I'm like, oh, that was a, you know, I still think that was a good one. And, you know, a lot of people watch them and they think there's nothing in that for me. There'll be someone who watched the one this morning and loved it. But for generally for every person who's tapped in and watching all of these, and this is across all the companies, there's more bad ones than good. Like, it's like you maybe get like one a year of like a company, or every couple of years where you're like, God damn, that was a winner from start to finish. And then all the rest of them, they are, I think this is the one where it's really truly flipped me about going into these. It's like, never expect anything of them.
No, right. And like, what option do they have? They've got to do, you know, Johnny Carson was out there every night saying, we've got a big show for you.
Yeah, true.
But some weeks they just had a fucking magician or whatever.
On the other hand, the only purpose of these things is to incite excitement about their products.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the time they fail.
So I will say the huge misfire of this for me, like, that, you know, I wasn't really interested in most of what was shown. I'll be interested to play Metal Gear 3 when it comes out, but I, you know, we didn't really see anything of it gameplay.
Metal Gear Delta.
It is Delta, confirmed?
I don't know if they've confirmed it, but I think that's a Delta symbol.
Yeah, people in the chat today were like, it's definitely a Delta symbol. So we assume it. I was calling it Metal Gear Solid Triangle.
It is a triangle looking thing. It's just
3, right? That makes sense.
Yeah.
But also Delta means 3.
I think Delta is the fourth letter. I think it goes
sense.
Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, if my men's rights groups have taught me anything.
No, that makes sense, yeah.
But anyway, we didn't see any gameplay of that, and I'm sure I'll love it when it comes out, but I haven't played those games before. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man looks great, but like, overall, the stuff they're announcing didn't really do it for me. That's just a personal taste thing. But I think they massively dropped the ball on the PSVR2 front. I think this was like a real critical moment of needing to come out and go, here's some stuff that we've got. Here's a reason to go out and buy it. And I don't think they even came close to that. They showed off a sequel to a thing that I think will, I didn't look this up, but I'm sure will be on the other VR headsets, the Arizona Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That was on everything.
I think not a great game, the first one.
Yeah. Right. And like, Queen songs are in Beat Saber right
Resident
now.
Resident Evil
like,
4 continues to have a VR mode coming up. But it was nice to see a little flash of that. But
sure, it'll be fun. But they're I really thought, it seemed like the two no-brainers were to go, well, we'll see a fair bit of Spider-Man 2, and surely
Two No-Brainers is the alternate name for our podcast, by the way. And it's up to you to decide which is which.
Well, sometimes it changes week to week.
Absolutely. Yeah, it certainly does.
Based on how medicated we all are.
It changes minute to minute, honestly, later on.
I really thought, well, because they made a point of going, this is PlayStation 5 and PSVR2 focused. Mm. It really did seem like, I really thought they were gearing up to say, this is the moment where we knock your socks off and convince you that this is a necessary purchase with an Astrobot and anything. And they just, spending time going, you can get Queen songs on Beat Saber. It's that's a great deal for Beat Saber. It's not a good get for the PSVR2.
And like you said, you can get those anywhere. Xbox, like, I think put out an image. I just saw someone in our Discord put it out, put it in there, so they didn't release it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they broke it.
But it was one of those ones where they're like, coming soon to Xbox, and they've got like a little collage of all the different games. And it was, I'm going to check if
I can't tell if it's a meme or not. I know. I meant to reply to that and be like, hey, at Punished Spoo, is this a real thing or not? Because it, like, all of them,
it looked real.
Well, they're all third party, so they will be coming to other stuff.
And point being that, all of those games, and it was a lot of the ones they showed in the showcase were other things.
The Talos Principle 2, again, was just, a multi-platform third
Resident
party
Evil, the Bungie stuff, a ton of it. And like you were saying, this is was the moment for them to go, hey, Sony has this coming up, which they do. They've got Death Stranding, which will also come to other things later, but they've got that Last of Us multiplayer thing somewhere. Final Fantasy's coming one day, which again, will come to other things. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
But anyway.
Rebirth.
Yeah. Yep. Afterbirth. That is the name of Binding of Isaac. That name, yeah. That game has gross names.
It's a gross game for gross people.
Now, look, in the interest of transparency, because I'm not a coward, I'm going to publicly now state what my predictions for this were.
Okay.
Even though none of them came true.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we get Last of Us 3 tease.
That's
I
right.
thought we get GTA 6 tease. I thought we get announcement Final Fantasy VII Remake 2 delayed.
That's
but
right,
here's
yeah.
another little trailer of it.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the things that I was predicting that I'm very bravely putting into the public sphere and admitting I was wrong.
I'll jump off that same cliff, Lemmings or Humanity style. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, tease.
I thought it had been long enough since the Demon's Souls remake came out that Bluepoint would be showing the Bloodborne remake.
Right. Yep.
I'd seen the Metal Gear Solid 3 thing rumored, so I... didn't predict that it would be called Delta, but
I feel like that's one of those ones that's been talked about. This is kind of like the Metroid Prime trilogy of PlayStation, where it's like, this feels like it's every one of these has been people going, oh, there'll be the Metal Gear remake.
But so that'll be on other stuff too. And like, so from Sony first party stuff.
I'll just quickly put my predictions on the record. Right. I predicted Astrobot Rescue Mission 2.
Yep.
So none of that. And then I put my worst case in our chat. 40 minutes of Spider-Man 2 with lots of stuff about purchasing cosmetics using real money. Mm. So we got a lot of Spider-Man 2. 20 minutes about PS Plus. Thankfully, we didn't get that.
They accepted that.
They botched the messaging on that.
And then 3 40-second teasers for Wolverine, Ghost of Tsushima 2 and Last of Us multiplayer. So my worst case...
Yeah.
Should have been more pessimistic.
I don't even recall, and I'm sure there was something that someone could bring me up on, but I don't recall to my mind any new like Sony first party stuff that I was looking forward to. And it was Spider-Man, which you already knew about, and a bunch of stuff we already knew about and showed more of, which like you know, for Dragon's Dogma people, it's cool to see a bit of that and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know, other than Final Fantasy 16 and Spider-Man 2, which, granted, I think will both probably be good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of a PS5 is still. And when people are going like, this is coming up to the mid-generation now, this is them laying down grammar for that. And the thing I was going to say earlier was that, we're so used to that cycle of long lead times from an announced release. That doesn't happen so much anymore.
Sure.
Like Mortal Kombat 1 got announced separately during the week, and that's coming out in like September, I think.
Right.
Which I also love not knowing about something and then it shows up just before it's going to come out.
Yep.
That is cool. So I'm going like, oh, they didn't show it up. But also, well, yeah, maybe don't until you've got it. But even then, maybe go, hey, we've got a state of play coming up for you. We don't have much to show you. There'll be more.
Yeah.
Just kind of a weird one. I think you
got to have a mix of both, right? You keep some things close to the vest, but then obviously something like the Last of Us 3 thing to me really seemed like a lock because they're coming off the back of everyone loving the series. And over the course of talking about and promoting that series, they've kind of met, you know, they've let slip that that's coming anyway. So this did feel like the right time to do a, because also, I mean, a lot of these companies, they feel like they are sort of looking at the format of the Nintendo Direct and doing the here's our last game and it being 15 minutes of Spider-Man. To me, it's like you're open with that. And your one last thing is like, that's where you do the, maybe the Metal Gear 3 or the like, all the little tease, you know? Like it's weird to see the last thing being like, yeah, this thing that's out sort of soon that we knew was going to be in this, and it's cool to see more of it. But
and the couple of like hardware things, I guess, which we'll mention in a second. But I'm sure I had another thought.
Yeah, you were about to start a sentence.
Yeah, I'm sure there was something in there. Let me dig around in my mind palace.
Sony games we've seen.
Ooh, it's the wind blowing through my empty mind palace. Oh yeah, it was always the thing with E3 that like when your cycle was built around that developers hated getting their shit
yep.
like artificially together kind of
yeah.
for the sake of that. So it's probably a good thing development-wise that they don't have to conform to that now outdated
yeah.
way of doing things. It's just still, you know, and like you said, different tastes. Some people will see a jelly bag, a jelly bean conference. They come in a bag, you see. That's how that happened.
yeah.
Need to you get out of my mind palance. But when you're watching your jelly bean conference, they're like new, all aniseed jelly beans. And some people will be like, here we go.
That's my favorite right. flavor, black.
And most people will be like, where's my red bag? Give me Bloodborne jelly beans. But yeah.
This probably was the most disappointing one of these I think I've seen across like any company.
There have been some Nintendo Directs that I think have been on the level.
I felt the way about this, the way a lot of people feel about those Directs, where like I'm still sort of generally in the zone of their, you know, this was, I kind of got the window into like, oh wow, this is what it's like to watch a bunch of old Japanese men rabbit on about Kirby for 45 minutes. I get it now. This sucks.
Yeah. Well, you went into Foam Stars?
I mean, sort of bits of it aesthetically, I kind of
I guess it is
was.
Splatoon,
it's
which
Splatoon,
you do like.
Yeah. It is funny, though. It's that thing where Nintendo having underpowered hardware and people go, God, imagine a version of this that's like, you know, running on a 4K console, and then it's like they make Foam Stars and it's like, well.
Yuck. Spider-Man looked cool.
Yeah.
It's a known quantity in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. But it
looks like it's going for it a bit story-wise, mm-hmm. switching between characters.
They had a weird thing during the week where Insomniac like confirmed that it was a single-player game. And I was like, why did they say that? Did anyone think differently? And it's because I think the voice actor for Miles Morales got asked by someone like, oh, is it co-op? And he's like, yeah, the Spider-Man co-op, right? It's co-op. And right. I don't think just really knew the term.
Yeah. That's great. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. And he was like real insistent because I was like, no, it's not co-op. He's like, yeah, they're helping each other out.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
What a beautiful, naive, innocent mind.
Yeah, don't get any deeper into gaming or you'll do a podcast and be like, I hated watching an hour of the thing that I like.
I mean, we should say, yeah, we all had to get up at like, yeah, roughly 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
My girlfriend could hear the whole thing through the wall of my office, so I'm in the bloody doghouse now. The Dragon's Dogma house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a bad house from all I've heard. I wanna go in on Dragon's Dogma at some point and get acquainted before that one comes out. I reckon it'll be to my taste. You said you played it for a few years ago and didn't really like it.
I think it was too late. I think at the time it was pretty groundbreaking. It had a lot of like interesting combat. Mm. You know, it was taking like a Skyrim or an Oblivion and going like, well, if it's third person, then it plays a little bit differently.
Right.
And it was, you know, an alternative to a Dragon's Age. You know, it was well, it's something different from that. But I didn't love it. But contemporary sequel, you know, they're diving in at a good point, potentially.
It looked cool to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The bit they showed of that was nice to see. And there was Ghost Runner 2.
Runner 2 looks cool. Yep, never played the first one.
No, me either.
But this looks like that with a motorbike.
yeah.
Looks fun, looks cool. And yeah, look, not to, you know, we got the negatives out of the way, but, and also because some previews a lot of outlets have played the first, I think, like 4 hours or had 4 hours with the game. Some previews of Final Fantasy 16 have dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of have been pretty checked out on that because it seemed just too far off in the distance, but sort of been looking at some stuff during the weekend.
That's man, a month
it's looking
away now
good.
Too. Mm. Yeah,
it's looking really good.
Someone I saw, like, maybe it was IGN or something, I don't know where it was from, and I wouldn't even credit it if I did. But they said something along the lines of like, yeah, it's a super technically advanced PS5 game with the soul of a PS2 game. And that's what I'm looking for. Give me like, I think they meant it in a good way. Like,
what does that mean?
Like, remember, they were a bit experimental and weird sometimes.
Okay.
I took it to mean that.
Okay.
But like,
I know what you mean. I love a compliment. I love a glowing compliment that at first glance reads like a diss.
Because
you see that, you're like, oh, but then you're like, no, but hang on. There were some rippers on the PS2.
I feel like it was meant like the, you know, when someone says an actor is like old Hollywood, they're like a star.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 16 is just a bit of an old soul.
Yeah.
But yeah, I initially when we first saw it, I thought, oh, it's a bit kind of boilerplate, medieval kind of stuff, and I do kind of would still prefer there to be a bit more of the weirder side of Final Fantasy in there. But also all the previews are really spending a lot of time talking about how much they're loving the combat. The combat sounds like it's going to be great.
I loved it in 7 Remake, and this is pushing further in that direction as that was pushing away from the older Final Fantasy
dungeons. I watched a thing, a Square video about it where they said...
Most videos are Square, mate.
Fuck. Nearly they none of them
be.
Are.
That used to be. 4x3 isn't even a square.
I wasn't watching A24 Presents Maybe Final Fantasy
that's
16.
That's what they meant by PS2. It's on like a 4x3 CRT screen. Yeah.
I would fucking love that.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I would actually... I embarrassingly love that. If you had to buy composite. If I had to get an RF unit for my I might do that anyway.
So when that Mario 3D All Stars came out and they'd done nothing to those games, and we all thought that was lazy and a bit atrocious. Mm-hmm. But if that had have come packed in with an old TV that you had to play it on, you would have been more on board,
dude.
Yeah.
A little amiibo. A little amiibo of the cord with like the red, yellow and white.
I'm moving house at the moment and like nearly broke my back lifting my CRT TV that I have.
Oh yes.
And rarely use.
Yeah.
But fuck it. And I thought like, should I just fucking ditch this thing? And then like, you know when in a cartoon someone looks at a puppy and it's got those massive eyes?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a CRT TV looks like to me. It is an adore. It's so cool to remember back when.
Yeah, but this Square video that I watched that was in rectangular format.
Right. Okay. Now I understand. Thank you.
They mentioned that. Yeah, they say that this is the first fully action combat that they've had.
Yeah.
Oh. First fully real time, which I was like,
right.
I mean, I kind of thought that was Final Fantasy VII Remake, but. Or even 15, but yeah, you were still kind of, you were slowing down time and using menus and stuff.
You're getting it. It's Devil May Cry, as I think I've seen it compared to, and I think one of the like lead combat designers from those games in the past is the person doing this.
And Final Fantasy Medieval is not normal medieval.
True, yes.
No,
there's always a weird, you know, tone to it. The creature enemy designs are always much more creative.
Yeah,
than,
I just always find when like this is in a presentation with something like this, where you've got that and then a Dragon's Dogma and then like a, you know, a forgettable third party game that's all, you know what I mean? If you watch too many of these in
Immortals Greborp of Flagaflop is not forgettable.
Yeah. But you know, it does all, they all tend to kind of merge into each other. But yeah, play it on its own terms. Really looking forward to it.
A lot of those ones, like in the style of 12 and 14 and stuff too, that look more medieval down the line in their main story presentation too, often it is more effective when they have the weirder stuff off to the side. You're like, oh, fuck, look at that weird lizard dude.
Yes.
The rest of us are just knights. That's
British knight. Look at that. God, blimey, look at that weird little lizard.
Look at that fucking lizard. Look at that gecko. You get out of here, gecko. So
I think the most aesthetically interesting game of the presentation to me that we hadn't seen was Bungie's reboot of Marathon.
Right.
Which turns out is actually just another Destiny game.
It looked like Destiny to me too. Like it was, I thought it was the next Destiny expansion, which they did show then after that, but... It is a...
The Final Shape.
Yeah.
The Final Shape.
Such a bad
name. It's really good.
It's more memorable than Immortals of Glabglof, but...
Sure.
It's stupid.
I like stupid, though. I like Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's... And I hated the Xbox One being called that. I thought it was real weird. And for some reason with Mortal Kombat, because it's sillier, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that really makes me like it in the Mortal Kombat sense is purely tied to... the video announcing it where it's like the hand on the clock hitting 12 and then going back over to 1.
Yeah.
Like treating that as the justification is like, all right, these guys love the clock.
And they're a little bit Fast and the Furious too, where Mortal Kombat 9 was just called Mortal Kombat. Mm. So they've already had two games called Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can't have...
It was Mortal Kombat X for 10.
And then it was X and then just 11.
It was just 11, yeah.
And now 1. And they can't have a third Mortal Kombat in brackets year.
It really reminds me of like when you're at a cafe with a friend.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is in it, by the way.
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And they've been trying to get him since the game started.
Yeah,
to the point where they just made Johnny Cage, who is basically Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, true.
And you meet Jean-Claude Van Damme twice.
Fuck.
Once when he's on the way up and you can't get him in your Mortal Kombat movie because he's doing Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And once on the way back down after the Volkswagen ad. 10 years or something after the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
The last time I ever thought about that guy.
I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
Mortal Kombat. One.
Search your mind, palace.
Oh, yes. It reminds me of when you're at a cafe with a friend.
That's right.
And you order a Diet Coke and then they're forced to go, oh, I'll have a regular Coke. No. You know what I mean? It's like there's already multiple just Mortal Kombats.
Right.
I'll have Mortal Kombat 1, please.
Yeah. I did see, I think in the chat, someone pointed out that the sequel to this would be called Mortal Kombat 1, 2, which just looks like 12.
I guess so, because you can't call it Mortal Kombat 2 again.
They're thinking ahead.
They will. Well, they probably will.
Mortal
right?
Kombat Series X would come after that.
True.
But they've already had X, so they can't do that.
Mortal Kombat 2, but you've spelled it.
Oh, T-W-O?
Yep.
Two Mortal, Two Combat.
Yeah, there
That's
you go.
Fast and Furious.
Now we're fucking talking.
Yeah.
More Tool Combat.
Yeah.
They got options.
Or Mortal Kombat with an E after the M-O-R. More
Tool. Oh, yeah. Or.
That'd be the ad, I guess. That'd be the ad campaign.
If Enid Blyton had written Mortal Kombat.
Or they're thinking so far ahead that they've planned to make this one really, really bad. So that there'll be no option of doing one after this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Damn, that's smart.
That's the ultimate way.
Trust me, it's a good long-term business move. that wasn't in here, but that was during the week.
That's another thing.
Big fighting game year, Street Fighter 6, Tekken 8, Mortal Kombat.
I was going to say, I'm sticking with the franchises that just have normal numbers.
Nah.
Street Fighter 6, it makes sense.
Yeah, I'm off Tekken 8 now, because how many Tekkens have there been before it? 7? Boring!
Yeah, was Tag Tournament a numbered one? I think it maybe...
No, because then they did Tag Tournament 2 as well. Okay. And they've got... So I guess Tekken... And they had Tekken Advance.
Yep.
Yeah. Bloody Tekken the Piss. But they...
Now that is a game I would play. It's like a spoof of Tekken.
Oh,
he plays Leslie Nielsen.
Because Street Fighters had like 30
Street Fighters.
I guess
you got your turbos and
your supers.
Yeah,
and
true,
your,
yeah. true. Yeah.
Anyway.
Another thing that they announced kind of near the end, they've got this, they announced this thing that it still only has a code name. It's known as Project Q, and it's a portable version of a...
loaded letter to use these days as well, the letter.
Yeah.
True. James Bond.
Not what I was thinking.
Bond, I've got a way for you to play Resident Evil 4 as long as you're nearby to a high-powered and reliable Wi-Fi connection.
Bond, it's Q. Quick, go into that pizza shop. I think there's something down in the basement.
It's a screen
with a controller
on it.
First,
when they showed it, I was like, oh, this is cool. They're doing like a sort of Steam Deck Switch kind of version. This could be really interesting. But it is just the same as getting, which they also showed off the PS Backbone during the week. It's the same as getting one of them and strapping it to your phone, except the screen's bigger, more of a pain in the ass to transport with you. I just think it's kind of misjudged for what it is.
Form factor is weird to think of having in a bag.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. It looks huge.
It looks like one of those mock-ups, you know, like especially in sort of older days, like maybe 20 years ago, you get those internet mock-ups of like, this is what the Xbox 720 is going to look like. Mm-hmm. And it was just a sphere or whatever, something stupid.
Yes.
This looks like someone has just badly photoshopped a screen in the middle of a PlayStation controller.
Or it's like when the patent leaks and it's like the most, this is these two things put together.
Right.
And this is what that looks like. But obviously we'll refine this for the...
Yeah, this is vague so we can cover anyone else doing anything.
This is literally
similar.
What it is, on this. But and of course we're going to finesse it a bit.
It's, I guess the article I read, so I don't know if it's definite or not, said it was like 8-inch screen, 1080p, which... is lower resolution than most current phones, right?
They're always like kind of weird resolutions, I guess. So I don't know. But at that size, it's probably all you need, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling it'll cost a mozza too.
Who knows?
For what it is.
Well, I mean,
when you've already
those...
got... This is the stupid thing. You've got the phone in your pocket. You've got the ability to play games on the... to do the remote play thing. It's not doing anything that can't do. I mean, it's nice to have the like proper... form factor of the DualSense, but I don't know. It just seems like a bit of a toss off to the side of the conference too, where they kind of imagine.
I think they're aware that it's like an extra thing
for
people who want it. It's also hard to get excited about stuff like that in Australia.
Yeah, that's very true. It's also, I kind of think it's a shame that they buried this other thing in the little kind of wrap up at the end. They announced during the week their first adaptive controller. Mm. Microsoft has one of these, mm-hmm. and PlayStation are following suit. And I think for a lot of people, that's such a huge thing that really unlocks gaming for them. Mm. It makes the PlayStation 5 so much more accessible. And I mean, I know they've already done their like dedicated announcement about it during the week, but I thought it was a bit of a shame to just kind of show an image of it for 2 seconds and a wrap-up right. at the end and not give it a bit more alongside showing that. Be like, hey, yeah. some of you might know, because some not everyone's as tapped into this, and some people may have missed that announcement during the week. And
you're
this
right.
is the thing that literally means that they can play these games now.
And Sony have been really good with their first-party titles of like having the accessibility options in the games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they're doing the hardware version of that now. I saw like talk about it that like it looks good and it was developed with like people who would know how to make stuff like that. It doesn't have as many of the sort of the Xbox One has a lot of like jacks in it to customize with different
put in,
buttons
right.
and stuff. This is a lot right. more solid with a couple of those. So I don't know.
I just think it's nice that Sony that have acknowledged subject. That differently abled people deserve to be able to have no games to play as well. They get to they get to buy this and have it gather dust like the rest of us. I think that's cool.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's the inclusive world that we all want to live in.
The other thing they showed was a little pair of PlayStation branded earbuds.
Yes.
I mean, that was like, God, this presentation is running out of steam.
Dude, they look fucking awesome to me. Again, this is the real, this is my black jelly bean stuff because they look bad objectively, sure. But the way the case slid open to the side and the way they've got the little fins, like the white sort of fins in your ear, you're going to look like a fucking weird tech elf, and that's sick.
I read a thing that I sent to you guys during the week. I actually didn't know that this was a thing, but how Apple will only allow their products to be used by the good guys in film and TV. And this thing that I saw specifically related to the fact that all of the main characters in Succession have Apple products. So it was like just making this point of like, does Apple think the Roy family are the good guys?
Mm.
But that would be a funny move if like Apple are lobbying where, you know, someone making a movie is like, hey, can we have our hero wearing some AirPods in the shot? And they're like, on one condition, you have to have the villain rocking the Sony branded PlayStation earbuds.
I hope they're kind of good because I tell you what, I would be a chance of being stupid about them.
Just having them as your go-to day-to-day headphone.
Dude.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Taking calls. You're on the bus. You're on the tram.
You've got the player. You've got Mr. Gamer here. You've got PlayStation.
Go for triangle.
Yeah.
Pairing
go for
them.
Zombie Killer 3000.
Pairing them with the Switch. Just the ultimate.
Yeah.
Light.
And then playing like Xbox Game Pass on a.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Doing
yeah.
the whole pouring Pepsi into a Coke glass thing.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Well, okay. Blue is the color of PlayStation, right? We all agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're starting to get blue balls. This is where we're at with PlayStation.
Yeah.
We're waiting for something.
Yep.
Yep.
They told us they were going
to
give
us
the
goods. I'm ready to blow.
Well, if your balls are ready to blow, you're going to want them to be looking.
I think PlayStation had a forest of games they could have announced.
Oh, yes.
And they trimmed it right back.
In most cases, though, that's a good idea to do. Well, not in a real forest. I'm into
No.
You don't need pubes. I mean, you do. They serve a purpose, I'm sure, but you've got to make sure they look neat, and you can do that easily if you invest in a Manscaped product, which they're pretty affordable.
Yeah.
And for what they are, they're high quality. We talk about them on here all the time because they're a big supporter of ours and we're a big supporter of theirs.
Absolutely. Right.
Manscaped make good personal grooming products.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that if you are buying something from there and you use the code FILTHY, you get yourself 20% off and you get free shipping.
That's right. We've recommended them. We still do heartily. They're, I've been doing it personally to friends of mine who've been asking if they're actually any good.
Oh, I thought you meant like the actual grooming. You've been doing that like damn good friends.
Yeah, no. I genuinely endorse them, as do we all.
Yep.
The Lawnmower 4.0, fantastic trimmer. The Weed Whacker 2.0, clean out that nose, clean out those ears if you got ear hair.
Yep.
And yeah, as you say, Nox, if you go to manscaped.com, you can get any of their products. If you chuck in the code FILTHY, 20% off and free shipping.
You might think you don't need them, but guess what? You're a gross, hairy, grotty little man, and you do. No one is immune to needing this product.
Correct.
But you know what? Even if that's the case about you, you're still a member of humanity, and that makes you beautiful, as evidenced by the game Humanity.
That sounds like lyrics from like the Ed Sheeran song that he that they commissioned him to write for the like opening credits of the game.
Fuck yes,
man. Yeah. The music is real good in this game, though.
It's so sick. Yeah,
Humanity is. We've talked about it briefly on here before. Mm. Like a demo came out. The full thing is out now. We've all been playing a little bit of it. It's got a VR mode that I haven't tried yet because my fucking helmet's in a box.
Mm. My helmet in a box. I didn't know anything about this until I think it was Ruby when she was on earlier in the year.
Right.
Mentioned something about it, and then I went looking it up, and I was like, "Oh, this is right in my wheelhouse. Fun little puzzle game." It's very, how would you describe it in setup? It's sort of very otherworldly.
Yeah, it's sort of set in like the afterlife, it seems like. It is one of those, it happens kind of often with puzzle games, sort of like Tetris Effect or something like that, where it is like this sort of ethereal vibe puzzle game that is a calming atmosphere to help you through the sometimes infuriating puzzles.
Right. Mm.
It's basically 3D Lemmings in a way, or like Choo Choo Rocket, if you remember that, where you are given a steady stream. You play like a little glowing Shiba Inu silhouette.
Yes.
And you're running around these sort of diorama puzzle areas.
Yeah, cube based.
Yeah.
Vaguely, broadly, yeah.
And you're placing down markers as this steady stream of people comes out of a gate that will guide them in a direction or make them jump or make them do other things to get them through the level to pads around the level that you've got to fill up with people.
And there'll be like, there might be switches that you have to make them go past in order to, you know, open up a little bridge.
Right.
Yeah. There might be multiple exit points, so you've got to get two separate streams of them kind of going onto the same thing at the same time. There's also a different number in each level. Big kind of golden men scattered throughout the level that if you collect them along the way and get them to the exit, you get like a marker for that. That's kind of the main objective beyond just finishing the level.
Yes.
Because
right.
Then you'll get to a point where it's like you can't unlock this level until you find 10 of until you save 10 of the golden men.
I haven't got that far in. And because early on it also like unlocks functions of the game.
Yeah,
You need to sort of like tick off your goldies for each level, and you get like an ability to speed up the flow of the game once you think you've figured it out and
pause
like it menu and options and
look
stuff.
Around and it is really fun, and I massively recommend that you try to get all the goldies in every level just the first time you're playing it, because that has really been the puzzle aspect of it. And the fun part for me, I mean, I enjoy doing those side things in this type of game anyway as I'm going, but this one especially, because like later on you're using them to just get different costumes for your people and stuff like that. But
I fall for it every time in a game like this. This game kind of reminds me of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker in the way of like it's the little diorama-y thing that what you're actually doing is quite different, but in setup it feels similar to that. Any game that has little optional kind of like three of a little coin in a level that you can get, I always fall for it. I go, I can't be bothered with. If I get them, I get them. Maybe when I'm done with the game, I'll go back through, and then sure thing, you get to World 2. Nah.
Yeah.
You got to have been getting them, brother. Mm-hmm. I fall for it every time.
Does that mean like a Mario, Mario 3D World? It's like,
a very Mario level thing.
You need the stars or the moons to unlock
like
the next
bonus coins and shit.
Yeah.
It's a very fun game as well. Like I think I'm a bit further in than you guys, and it keeps being creative. And it does the great puzzle thing where it brings in the mechanics at a steady enough clip, but then with enough twists on them that you're doing everything you'd think you could do with these with these different mechanics, and then it's moving on and increasing. And
you're unlocking new abilities as you go along, but it's not like you're unlocking this suite of abilities that then you have for the entire game. You'll go into a level and it'll go, you've got this and this. Like it'll deliberately, so you might be up against something thinking, but you know, your options are pretty limited.
Right.
It's not giving you complete free reign over every single thing that you've unlocked.
No.
It also does this really cool thing for trying to get all the goldies to the end of the level, where you can retry the level, but you can retry it with all of your markers still placed down. So, because sometimes you'll put a thing down and you might just have not gotten to a spot just in time and the goalie's gone off the edge.
Because that's
so you
the
can
thing
then very easily restart the level and it's just left everything you've set up the little Rube Goldberg machine and
right.
just like it just runs it all through and you know it's so it is easy to go back and grab them without having to do the arduous thing of do it all over again.
Right, because it will like rather than it just being like a sort of it is this sometimes of like find the path, set up the arrows and whatever, and then run it and
yep.
you'll do it. But sometimes it is kind of going, you'll have to jump from here to here pretty quickly to reset this one
yes.
for later in the sequence so you're being pretty physical and platformery with it at the same time as
yeah.
it being that like more set up signposts and see yeah. what happens type of game.
You can do this really fun and cool feeling thing of traversing around by if you jump and then press X again, which is one of the buttons on the PlayStation controller.
Whoa, that's cool.
I just
it what else do they have on
an
there?
An hour and 15 minutes to learn this morning. you like possess someone in the crowd of people and then you can just use the stick to sort of like zip your way through the stream of people and pop out at the end.
And
it's a nice little touch, easy to get around.
It feels awesome too because it's using the like haptics in the PS5 controller really well,
yeah.
like noticeably well in this game where you're like going da 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 and getting
yeah.
these little bumps as you jump from
possessing
person.
All these different people as you
it's
whip
cool.
through.
See, I've been playing it on the PC and my main criticism and maybe something that's going to stop me from playing it is
okay.
the controls are awful. Like, it feels so unintuitive. And I think maybe it's the design of the game. Like, maybe it's just a taste thing of, like, I'll be sort of, like, looking around and being like, okay, I've got to get over here and here and I've got to, you know, set a marker there. And I'm kind of not looking at the controlled character. I'm sort of looking ahead as if I'm, you know, doing a puzzle. And I'm just, like, falling off the map all the time. It doesn't seem like it should be part of the game, that
but
it's
like,
a platformer.
Yeah, you're cycling through you're pushing the square to do one of your commands, and if that's just movement, you're also holding the arrow that you want to put the direction in.
Yeah, that's a little unwieldy for me.
Yeah, you're placing like your jumps and stuff, and they're always square, and you're cycling through them with the triggers. And I definitely, it's one that it's really designed, it feels like, to be played in just like one big session. And, like, really be in the zone with the controls because I did one big go of it and then went away for, like, a day and came back and was, you know, spending a level or so getting to grips again with, like, cycling through and losing track of, like, putting a marker down and being
right.
like, oh, shit, I didn't mean to put jump. I wanted to put, you know.
Because it's also, it is 3D, as we said, and it's, like, there will be bits where you'll have to sort of, like, you know, jump your stream of people up and then they'll drop down and then you'll do a U-turn and they'll climb up and come back through a tunnel.
Yeah.
Which you sort of have to have been able to do yourself as the character. You're also swiveling the camera the whole time. You're trying to get a sense of where this stream of people will go. Even, I don't know, it's just like depth perception. I'm sometimes putting the arrows in, you know, the wrong spots.
Right.
So I feel like, and I'm playing with a mouse and keyboard. You can play on the PC with a controller as well. But mouse and keyboard is just like, you know, WASD and Q and E are switching your things and just click. So it's it's comparable. I think it's more just the game is designed in a way where I sort of wish I could like pause it and click my mouse on that square.
Right.
So and you go left, you know, like.
You can kind of do that with one of the abilities you get as you can
right.
like press triangle on the controller to do it. Because I haven't found that with the controls at all. I've really been enjoying the part where it's like a platformer at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And
you are sort of having, because you can only jump a certain height. So you might have to wait for
yes.
your little stream of people to climb up the wall
yes.
so that you can, you know, do the thing of possessing and traversing through them. Because, I mean, the thing we should say too, apart from the goldies that you're trying to get to the end, there, apart from them potentially falling off the edge and you not getting the score for having rescued them, there are no stakes. Like,
no.
The trail of people can just be going straight off the edge and it doesn't matter. So,
it's
and
not
same
like
with
Lemmings
you can fall,
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
lose lives or anything. So, you sort of do have the freedom to experiment with getting, and that's why I think it's great that you can just retry with all your markers placed down, because it's like, oh, I lost that goldie because I just did that at the last minute, but I can just, well, now that I've got it, I'll just open it up, run the level again, and it'll just sort of take care of itself.
And it's cool that it tells you early on, it's like, if the people fall, don't feel bad for
yeah.
them,
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
be back.
It is nice to have that like not matter, and it still, it did take me a couple of go-arounds to get used to that, because they would be heading towards the cliff and I'd be like, oh no, I fucked it. And then it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll just sit here and watch the world burn for a little bit. And then I'm crazy like that.
Small and short enough levels for the most part where if you fuck up, it's not like all this progress. You're like, oh, damn, I'm going way back.
Yeah.
It's
cool though. It's cool puzzles. Really, I think great, interesting design to it. That's so unique, that's so weird and different in tone. This whole afterlife thing with the weird, I don't even know how you describe the music, but it kind of builds through each level. And
it's a little, angelic electronic type of just like atmospheric Brian Eno-y kind of, I guess, Brian Eno. I don't know enough about Brian Eno to have said his name. But
You
mean Fred Again's uncle?
Yeah. Is he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Your Boards of Canada's, indie electronica stuff. Yeah.
I mean, this feels like a real PS2 era.
Yes.
Totally.
No detail.
A PSP game to me, Luminous and all that stuff, where it's so chill and vibey, and then with an increasingly... a demanding puzzle game underneath, the thing with those controls too is I'll often set up just a little square for the people to walk around in a circle in while I'm off figuring stuff out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's laid out as sort of a grid system.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's the long jump will make them jump X number of blocks. Mm-hmm. And it is physical on top of that. If they bump into each other, they'll get knocked around and whatever. But
you get told they can drop down 2 blocks worth without dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that that makes it easier to sort of plan ahead. And if there's a switch, you don't need the stream going over the switch. You can cordon off a little group just walking in a circle over the switch and stuff like that that I found really intuitive. And the control stuff, I haven't found as much, but I'm playing with the controller, which I think is maybe the way to go with this just because you are doing kind of a platformer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's set up in a way I think that is kind of meant to be part of the challenge. If it was... here's a grid, you got your mouse, go boom, 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 boom. I think the fact that it's kind of asking you to run around in the space is maybe part of its point of difference.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to finishing this bad boy off.
I'm really keen to get into the VR mode soon and see what that's like, because you're looking at things from a sort of angled top down what do you call that?
There's
that
isometric
word. Isometric perspective that I wonder how that's going to feel in VR with doing the controls as well, but maybe being able to look around a little will
like you mentioned the depth perception. I definitely have had that a couple of times where I've sort of, it's taken me a little while to get the angle right to sort of be able to judge what's going on around that corner or whatever.
It helps.
I can't really picture how you would control this in VR. But it's cool that it exists.
It's good to approach some of the levels too in detective mode, where you start at the end and work your way back.
Yeah.
Mm. That often helps. But then they're set up in such a way that this platform won't be there until there's people on this switch. And so you have to get them there first to then do this. And it's a cool, different feeling sort of puzzle game, given the fact that it is it's kind of Lemmings.
You mentioned to us during the week, Adam, that if you have it on the PC, you can do it in VR just using your Oculus.
Yes, you can.
God, I wish I'd known that before I dropped the money on it PS5. Yeah. Because
there's an option for virtual reality. No, there's
not. There's actually not.
No, there is.
There isn't.
Oh, there is.
There isn't. No, there
you
isn't.
You might think there's not.
No, there
but
isn't.
But you can make sacrifices.
There isn't. And if there was, it would be in a box right now. Because, not only, I'm barely getting access to this goddamn thing as it is, what with my girlfriend being on her second run through of Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, I've never seen anything like this. Hit in the end credits and then just straight back in.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's Resident Evil style, which I don't know if we mentioned that the 4 VR mode got shown. Maybe we did, but I'm looking forward to trying that too. It's cool that that's free.
Yeah.
A little thing there.
It's a good game, that Resident Evil 4.
Damn, she good.
She's a great one.
Yeah. I forgot that I finished that. I think I said the other week that I was looking forward to finishing Jedi Survivor because the only other game I completed was Kirby. But that Resident Evil 4, that's a damn good game.
Good ass game. Yeah. I'm coming up towards the end. I think you are too, of the story of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes.
And have put the brakes on doing the main bit to go explore the vast world of Hyrule.
Speaking of Resident Evil 4, like, I know it came out around Comedy Festival time, so I was busy, but it's, like that 12-ish hours story, I felt like I was chipping away at very incrementally over like a month or so. And then with the weird way that Nintendo do their play count timer thing, where it logged on for people, I think after like 10 days of it being out or something like that.
It spends a long time sitting in your menu saying, you last played, or you first started playing this a week and a half ago.
So it all of a sudden, like 2 days ago or whatever, it came on for everyone that had started on day one. And mine is on 35 hours or so, which was kind of surprising to me because, like I said, it felt like it took me a lot of sitting down and kind of committing and chipping away at a 12-hour story. And yet, that counter could have been 6 hours and I would have been like, hey, that feels about right. Like, you feel simultaneously like you've played so much of it and like you've played nothing at all, because a lot of what I've been doing is just getting lost and, being like, oh, I've only done this and this and this. I'm like, yeah, but you spent an entire day doing that bit where you're just walking around the town talking to everyone.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that adds up.
I haven't looked at my number of hours, but I feel the same way where I feel like I've just jumped in and just scratched the surface, because it's such a dense game, even compared to the first one, to Breath of the Wild. Like, there's shit everywhere to do, and it all seems to be a touch more intricate than it was in Breath of the Wild.
Because also with the sky stuff as well, you sort of do need, I mean, you can just go to a shrine up there and muddle your way around, but you sort of do need to either be skydiving from a tower that's near a little sky island bit, or see like one of the floating bits that falls down that's going to lead up. But so I'll have 5 days worth of playing where then I go, oh, I haven't been into any of the sky bits you know what I mean? Like, I just forgot they were there because I've just been doing stuff on the ground and haven't come up to a bit where I'm like, oh, cool, I can get up onto that little bit there and look around.
There's whole parts of the map where, like, I've kind of been there to go get the tower and whatever, but haven't explored, and just went through, like, one little area the other day just walking and trying to kind of comb through, and there's just shit every corner.
Yeah.
Every little bit of it, there was something, and every single one of those things was something creative and interesting to do.
I want them to put that thing really in impressive. That it's weird that it doesn't have, that they added to Breath of the Wild.
It's in there.
It is?
Yeah.
The footsteps thing?
Yeah.
Is it really? Yeah, right.
You have to go to a guy to like turn it on.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's a bunch of stuff. So I feel like the game could use a little bit more direction for the player at the start, because I completely missed the auto build function.
That is one where it's you not get even the like, quest early, but it doesn't necessarily tell you that is what's going
to... I think it's sort of... It seems to me like it's in there in a way that it's banking on you've played a lot of Breath of the Wild and this quest line is happening in an area that's new. So it's assuming that you'll be drawn to that because it's like, well, this is the part of the map I haven't seen.
Right.
So I'll prioritize this first of all.
Well, yeah. I was like, oh, this is clearly some side content. I'm going to follow the main story for as long as it's entertaining to me, which I think I'm just before the final boss and have been loving. But I missed that, and I missed the... this is probably my fault, the Lucky Clover Gazette, which also points you in the direction of the Great Fairies, which is something that was in Breath of the Wild as well. But I think I got to the point where I was like, God, I wish my armor was a bit more powerful,
or
a bit stronger. And then I've started to look into these other things, which I feel like would have made the game a lot easier had I discovered them earlier.
Yeah. It is weird because you get told about all of those things early on, but in a way where like someone's like, yeah, come over to this part and I'll show you a thing or two. And it doesn't necessarily go, this will give you a fight. Like,
they're all framed as like, oh, it's a side quest.
Right.
Which there are, you know, dozens of side quests, some of which are like, hey, if you do this, you get one red rupee and go on with your day.
And the main thing has so much drive to it, I think, even compared to Breath of the Wild, that you are encouraged to follow that thing, where the auto build, I wasn't necessarily hindered by not having that for those main, which I'd done like three of the main dungeons or something before going and finding that, but it is a useful thing to have.
It just seems like it would have been a fun mechanic for me to have while I was playing the game.
Right, right.
Whereas, yeah. like I've happily gotten up to like the final boss without too many any difficulty spikes. You know, it's felt very natural. I just feel like I've missed out on a large chunk of the game where absolutely, you know, people might be thinking like, we'll just go and have fun with it. Whereas I think I'm like, if I replay the game's main story, it won't be for a few years. Like, I'll probably, and I am doing that thing now, which you're doing, Nox, of like, I'm going to go see a bunch of different
stuff. Just get everything,
But it just seems odd that it's like, oh, you could have been knocking off these great fairies as you go. You could have been, you know, you could have been auto building all this stuff.
Weirdly, early on, it is worth sort of circling the initial things first before going in any one direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I still haven't found any great... Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff I still haven't seen. Mm. And I kind of feel like, I mean, I'll find it when I find it. Maybe it'll be a bit too... I mean, maybe it will be at a point where it's like, oh, this is annoying to not have had this. But like, you know, that's it's like that. I feel like that's what it is.
And I do love that about it, that it's like, it's all here, go find it.
Like the footsteps thing comes up. I'm in Lookout Landing and I'm like, I feel like I want to upgrade. This guy is saying I can upgrade my Pura pad. But then he's saying like, go to the lab, and I'm going there, and it's like, no, the lab's locked. I'm like, what am I supposed to? And so only through that did I go, oh, I guess I have to do this underground shit.
Yeah.
And then it progresses that. It starts unlocking these other functions.
The little stuff you do under there to get to that is cool too. Like going and following the little bit, and then you have a little fight down there with a kind of bossy thing that I thought was pretty cool. Like, I loved the whole like journey to unlock and get to that.
Mm.
And like, the more you see of the depths is I'm finding it more and more interesting as I go through that bit.
Mm.
I was talking about the game to my girlfriend, who was asking me about it in relation to the only game she's played, Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it literally, like, imagine that, because she's like, are they going to make another one? I'm like, I don't know, but I don't really know. I mean, previously I was saying I don't really know how they could, because it's like, it's just Hogwarts. Like,
right.
But I've been saying, imagine if this second playthrough you were doing now, stuff's kind of moved around, people are a bit different, and then there's shit in the sky and underground. And she's like, okay, but is it the same stuff where you've got like a story, but then you're meeting people and they're showing you to go do things and it's pointing you where to go? I'm like,
yeah.
It is.
That's what video games are.
Every game it's all that same stuff, except it's like a bit more hands off. It's like, you know, on Hogwarts Legacy, it puts a thing on a map and it's telling you every step of the way. It doesn't really do that. It'll just say, you know, you intuit it a lot more. And she was like, that sounds really interesting. That sounds cool. And I was like, maybe I'll set you up with Breath of the Wild. And then I was like, playing Tears of the Kingdom in bed on the Switch, and was just in like a little bit that had some like cool looking nature in it. And I just gave her the Switch and I was like, why don't you just do a bit of like walking around? And she picks it up and she goes, why does it look so pixelated? I was like, hell yeah, dude, you are a real gamer. We got her, boys. Yes. She's in.
But yeah, like I said, the main story or the main quest line is really, really good.
Mm.
Very like, I haven't put it down, you know. I can't see my playtime yet. I'm still, it's like you first played it 10 days or more ago.
Yeah,
which
is
really odd.
I think maybe you need to close the game and then
I tried that.
Something, I don't know.
I tried that. Yeah, I opened Advance Wars and then opened Zelda again. Maybe I've got a restart myself. I don't know.
Something.
It's silly that it works. Yeah. Like
it's
that
so dumb. Yeah. It's annoying that the game doesn't have one built into it.
Totally.
Anyway, I have basically zero. I've done two of the temples. I have barely any recollection of the lead up to the divine beasts themselves. And then I remember the bosses were all just a very like generic elemental version of Ganon.
Yeah.
But just already I think like everything in this game in that department is so much more interesting and dynamic and unique and memorable. I mean, obviously it's only been out for 10 days, but like, yeah, I don't remember anything really grabbing me about that element of Breath of the Wild. I can't remember.
It's better.
It's better. It's like the it's your little
Breath
journey.
Of the Wild Deluxe. I've seen someone mention like refer to it as Breath of the Wild Deluxe, which I'm like, yeah. And I think someone was like had a bit of a problem with me calling it like expansive DLC. But
the
that's
DLC
not a,
thing is like a charged term these days because people use it like to go to shit on stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think like Breath of the Wild Deluxe, like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, is undeniably a 10 out of 10 game. It's also a basically a redone version of a previous game.
I mean, it's that even more so is just Mario Kart 8 with more stuff in it. Like,
it's not a bad thing. It's like, taking a really, really good game and making it like the best version of it that you can imagine is good.
Yeah, this is just like.
And that's what this is.
This is totally like. This is what sequels. I mean, like I said, I think
last week, but it felt like with Breath of the Wild, it was like, oh, story could have used a little tweaking, I guess. Some more enemy variety would have been nice, but overall, really no room for improvement. Mm. And then it's like, as it turns out, oh, there was tons of room for improvement.
Yeah, or just
like,
for new stuff in it. Yeah. That's the thing too. Like it's improving on Breath of the Wild in the sense that it is. There are more good ideas in there.
Yeah.
Not that there weren't good ideas in the first one, but there's even more now. Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah. I was gonna float this in the chat during the week to give you guys time to prepare an answer, but instead I'll just sandbag you with it. What do you like best about me? they haven't said. I don't know if they will or can do it with this, but is there any like DLC stuff that you would want to see?
I loved the extra dungeon and stuff for Breath of the Wild.
Because I never finished that. Oh. They added some shrines. There was a couple little challenge stuff around the world where you had to fight a stronger sandworm thing again.
There were like two different sets of it, and one of them was just some treasure chests hidden around, and then the Master Sword Trials, which were like
kind of.
And it wasn't great, but then the second one was, I think, the Champions Ballad.
Yeah.
And that was sort of new shrines, a new dungeon, and just expanding on what was there. And I thought it was great. And that motorbike, which I kind of missed in this one.
Yeah, which at the time was like, pretty weird that they've put this in. And now it's like, people are making full-on assault mechs and stuff like that in this. But
I would love to see some DLC in that same vein for this.
Yeah, I guess they could add in a bunch more Zonai devices. Mm-hmm. They could come up with a new suite of them that would change the sorts of stuff could build.
Some new islands are in the sky.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Or like a new temple, but a mini temple, another little puzzle area to explore.
The divine beast that was in the expansion for Breath of the Wild was the best out of the, five.
So I know I've really liked the temples.
So much better over the first one.
I'd love it. I'd love another. Like, because there's not really the shrines aren't quite on the same level with the puzzle solving.
Yeah, they're a little. I think you put it as like they're like tests or tutorials of like the different mechanics. Which they do feel a bit less. I suppose also because of the nature of how different the building stuff is from what you had as a tool
like
set in the first one.
Breath of the Wild would go, how are you going to do this? And then Tears of the Kingdom is like, be pretty funny if you did this, wouldn't it?
Totally. Right.
What if you launched a ball across this chasm using a 100%. Catapult?
Right. So I'm almost having more fun with these ones, but I do think they are less challenging most of the time.
There's been a couple where I've been like, trying to work my way around it. But for the most part,
there's a couple tricks that I've figured out that kind of eliminate a lot of challenges that are being set for you.
Right.
Do you want a secret little trick here?
Yeah.
Sure.
You know the rewind?
Yes.
Yeah. So what you do, get a plank, get a piece of wood, get whatever you can stand on, hover it over to where you need to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then bring it back to you.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Rewind it and you just fly up there.
I've been doing a bit of that.
It's sick.
I saw someone, like one of the great early Twitter videos of people experimenting was just someone picking up a boulder and spinning it round and round and round and then luring an enemy into that and doing a rewind.
Yeah.
It's like,
sick. That sort of stuff is so much fun though. Like it never feels like, oh, that's, this is broken.
I've broken it
It just feels like you're the fucking king.
Yes.
And you get to magical kill powers. Whoever you want.
Yeah.
It remains good.
Yeah.
There was a couple more things during the week, them saying that the game was done like a year. The game was done when they delayed it, but they delayed it to put some extra polish on, which I thought was interesting. Again, just still little things trickling out that...
that stuff is always like
saying
that's kind of how games are developed anyway to me as well. I saw that thing and it was like, well, yeah, you the end, the last part you do is like bug fixing and stuff.
Right.
So it took you a year to do that.
I think the other interesting thing I thought was that they...
I've got to piss so badly. Can I just move our wide shot and go to the bathroom?
I think we're nearly done.
I'm going to piss myself.
Well, do you want to wrap up? Because we're over an hour here.
Yeah, let's wrap up. Thanks for listening and watching.
I'm literally in pain.
Check out YouTube for all our YouTube videos. We have video of the show on YouTube now if you want to check that out.
Also, the live stream that we did this morning, that's all up there as well already.
Get on the Patreon. Get a bonus episode every week. We got to make the money, guys. I'm going as fast as I can. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all that stuff. Thanks very much for listening. As we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.